If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And good Thursday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson here. Tim and Ed and Wesley are all away today, so I needed help. I needed help badly today, and we've got some great help. Ray Pritchard in Kansas City is with us.
What's up, Fred? How you doing this morning?
Doing great. How are things in Kansas City today? Nice day?
You know, it's low 80s and warm and sunny. And, you know, sometimes I say, Tim, get it. This is a good tea time, but this would be a better day to go swimming this afternoon, I think.
All right, go to it. And also joining us is Dr. Alex McFarland, and he is in his great home state of North Carolina, right, Alex?
That's right. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. I have to ask you, have you thrown the cat out? Because the cat was a big part of our story meeting this morning.
You know, the cat has disappeared. We have kind of famously, because people ask Bert Harper and I about Esther the dog and Alexa the cat, and we were having our planning meeting this morning, and I was kind of embarrassed. We were on Zoom, and the cat decided to join in with planning the news cycle. So I'll try to keep the pets at a minimum during this show today, Fred.
All right. All I saw was that black tail going across the screen at your house. Hey, that's all right. We're cat people at our house, too. Ray, do you have a pet? Do you have dogs, cats? Or?
We have an Aussie doodle. Her name is Sadie. She's 5 years old. She's a endemic puppy. Remember when we were all sheltering indoors?
Okay.
Marlene and I were bored and lonely, and we got a 9 or 10 week old Aussie doodle who is the light of life to us.
All right. Morning walks with the Aussie doodle, or?
That's where I was this morning.
Okay.
We did about two miles together about 6 o'clock this morning. And if I don't take her, she comes and she when I'm sitting in my recliner, doing my relaxing thing, when she's ready to go for a walk, she comes and puts her nose up over the edge, you know, the armrest, and she just looks at me with those big old eyes until I take her out for a walk.
Alex, one thing you can't do with a cat is, well, at least I haven't had the experience of putting them on a leash and going for a walk. They don't do that well. No.
But, you know, the cat and the dog are so smart. I mean, they really are. And do you know what? Esther the dog, who has barked. And, you know, one time we put a photo of Esther on Facebook. Now, Bert and I, we can put a Bible verse on Facebook or one of our shows, and it might get a couple of hundred shares. Esther the dog, her photo got 3,000 shares. Seriously. But around about 8 or 8:30 at night, you know, my wife and I might have a bowl of ice cream or something. Mm. Well, the dog knows to predict that. So Esther will go to the fridge and, like, lean her head toward the fridge. So the other night, seriously, I said to Angie, I said, would you like some V-A-N-I? Well, the dog goes berserk. And I'm like, okay, great. Our dog can spell now.
Got to be careful. Yeah. It's great to have pets. Well, guys, the story of the week continues to be what happened last weekend there in the central southern part of Texas. As of this morning, we've been covering this extensively, American Family News, and on our programs, too. At least 120 people confirmed dead, and still about 170 missing. Well, last night, the community came together. It was a memorial service, And hundreds of people showed up for this memorial service there in Kerrville, Texas. And one of those who spoke at that event was a youth pastor in the area. His name is Wyatt Venerchek. And I wanted you to have a listen. You hear a little bit, I think, of the music that was played at that memorial service, but also what this youth pastor had to say. Cut number one.
Our communities were struck with tragedy literally in the darkness, in the middle of the night. But as the sun rose, as the light came, we were the light of Christ. Amen. We are called to be the light of Christ. And so many of us have been called into action to serve in our communities, in our churches, in our own homes. But yet, I have found myself asking, what exactly can I do today? And I've had to be reminded often that for us as believers, one thing that one of us can do is to pray and to trust that our loving God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, hears our prayers and answers those prayers. That God is real. Amen.
Alex, go to you first. One of the things that I have noticed in the midst of this tragedy is the number of times, whether it's a Fox anchor, whether it's a reporter on the scene, people talking about this, how often coming out of this tragedy that we have heard the gospel shared with people, that their hope is in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's an example of how God can take a tragedy like this and use it as a tremendous venue for sharing the gospel. And the reason for our hope is Christians.
Amen. Amen. And it is sad, you know, Monday on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I had on an AFA listener, Mr. Lee Puckett, who lives near there. And then it was my privilege to put him in touch with Fox News in New York City. And then we got a pastor from there right at the near Camp Mystic to be on Fox News. But here's my point. It's tragic. And Psalm 34, the Bible says, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart. Mm-hmm. And so it is sad. But to your point, Fred, and it's a great point, the ultimate good that's coming out of this is on the airwaves. I even, on CNN of all things, and CNN is not known to be, all that friendly to God and country, and yet they were reading a response that talked about leaning on the Lord, and the Lord is going to help us. And even on CNN, references to Christianity and our solace and our hope in Jesus. So God is bringing good out of what is an otherwise tragic situation.
Ray, I think it's also a great opportunity for pastors across our country to use this as an example that in this life where we live in a fallen world, that our hope in the midst of tragedies like this and in difficulties as we go, individually as we go through life, that our hope indeed is in Jesus Christ.
You know, two things come to mind. Number one is the truth that the world that we see around us is not the world God created. The world God created didn't have floods, didn't have tornadoes, didn't have hurricanes, didn't have these sweet girls swept away. The tragedy that we have seen, that happened from the fall of man, the entrance of sin. Creation, Paul says in Romans 8, and I got to say, a passage, I think the older I get, I think the less I understand because it is so profound. All creation groans. Mm. All creation groans. This world is not the world as God created it. This world that we see is not the world that's going to exist forever. There's a better world coming and a better day coming. And that's the very heart of the Christian hope. That is why we sorrow. Indeed, our hearts are broken, but not as those who have no hope. And I like what that pastor, youth pastor, said in his prayer. When the morning came, the light began to shine. Then he said, we are the light of Christ. And Fred, that strikes me as a profoundly biblical thing to say. And God's doing, as Alex said, on CNN, on Fox News, in a lot of secular places, people are turning to the Lord, because where else could you go in a time like this but to the Lord?
Amen. And just want to remind our folks, we'll be talking to Steve Tiber. Steve Jordahl will be talking to Steve Tiber, 8 Days of Hope, later today. I believe they are on the move, or will be very shortly, into the area to help folks out. I know Samaritan's Purse and other ministries are now getting engaged already in helping these folks. And also, guys, I think we need to be praying for those, and there are hundreds now who are involved in the search for others, and at a tremendously difficult and stressful job that is, as they go foot by foot, mile by mile, because we're talking about miles of debris that they have to go through as they continue the search. And there's still hope. There's 170 missing, but there is still some hope that in that missing group, there may be some people who were in the area, but they left earlier, but maybe family members don't know, haven't heard from them, whatever the case may be. So there is still hope there. But continue our prayers for all the families that are involved in this. And they're going to need our prayers, guys, for quite a long time. Well, in this nation, there are problems. And one of the sad problems that we're seeing right now, guys, is that the ICE agents, who are only doing their job, they're going out there to arrest the literally thousands of illegal immigrants that were allowed in this country under Joe Biden's administration, out arresting. And now you have, and it's mostly Democrats that are coming out saying it's absolutely terrible what these people are doing. In fact, we now have some Democrats that have introduced a bill that says they shouldn't be allowed to wear masks, and calling them Nazis and all of that sort of thing. Wanted to play you a little montage of what these Democrats are saying. Cut number two.
Our local police department will not ever cooperate with ICE. Whatever their constitutional authority is.
Some of the most inspiring things have been when people encircle courtrooms and refuse to allow ICE agents in.
They need to leave, and they need to leave right now.
They cannot use excessive force, and they should not act like vigilante folks wearing masks.
If everything is legitimate and proper, why are you wearing masks?
This is America. This is not the Soviet Union. We're not behind the Iron Curtain.
Yeah, that's and that some of these are high ranking Democrats as well. President Trump was asked about all of this yesterday. This is what he had to say. Cut three.
These officers are doing a tremendous job. They're great patriots. If you expose them because of, you know, statements like have been made by Democrats and others on the left, usually, mostly, I think probably exclusively, you put them in great danger, tremendous danger. And it's sort of funny when people picket in front of Columbia, in front of Harvard, and they have masks on, more than masks. I mean, you can't see anything. Nobody complains about that. But when a patriot who works for ICE or Border Patrol puts a mask on so that they won't recognize him and his family, so they can lead a little bit of a normal life after having worked so hard and so dangerously, there's a problem with that. So they have this is the problem with the Democrats. They have a lot of bad things going on in their heads. They've really become very, they've lost their confidence, number one, and they've become somewhat deranged.
Yeah, Alex, the president makes a great point. These Democrats who are now complaining about masks that are being used to protect the identity of these ICE agents as they go about their business. By the way, they have ICE detailed on the back of their uniforms. Nobody can mistake them for being thugs. But the president makes a good point. These Democrats might have some credibility if they had spoken out during the Black Lives Matter protests a few years ago, during Antifa protests, during the anti-Israel protests. We saw these young people on campuses all wearing masks. These Democrats said nothing about that back then. But now we have ICE agents only doing their job, and they're complaining about masks.
Well, the Democrats are wrong on everything. I mean, they just are. You know, I'm just going to say this. I'm only speaking for myself. Not only do I not know how a rational adult could vote Democrat, I don't know how a Christian could vote Democrat. I mean, whether the issue is legal protection for the unborn or the murder of the unborn, whether it is morality and marriage, heterosexual monogamy, or homosexuality and transgenderism, the rights of parents versus hormone replacement therapy for children and the castration, the mutilation of children in the support of the transgender delusion, male perverts in women's changing rooms, and now committing treason against America by forcibly opening the borders, forcibly allowing in illegals and felons. When, look, we have INS. We and there's a wonderful Christian ministry that ministers to college students, exchange students, and I've known of the protocols of INS, immigration naturalization, for 25 years. So when people want to legally immigrate to America, they can do that. But Fred, here's my point. The Democrats, why would they want to really support an invasion, an illegal foreign invasion of our country? That's treason. And I would just implore people, this is not even biblical Christianity, of important as that is. This is just rational, just care of the taxpaying citizens in America and following the rule of law. This is not partisan politics. This is lawfulness versus anarchy. This is the preservation of our nation versus treason. How anyone could support the anti-life, destructive ideology of the Democrat Party, I've no idea.
Ray, Alex uses words like treason and anarchy, and that is not an over-exaggeration. And we saw several days ago at a detention center in Texas, south of Dallas, 10 people have been arrested because ICE agents and a local police department, they were ambushed. They were ambushed. The weapons that they have found amongst these 10 people, some of them are charged with attempted murder now because they had high-powered weapons. They were planned. This wasn't an impromptu, they sat around in a restaurant and say, let's go do something devious. This was well-planned. There was literature in all of this. So when we use words like anarchy and treason, it goes well beyond just Democrats being concerned about masks. What we need to be concerned about, there is a movement in this country that's very organized. It's very well funded.
You destabilize America.
It is. It is, Ray.
Well, you know, sometimes you listen to President Trump, and he's always entertaining, right? Because you never know what he's going to say. And I think often the president doesn't always know what he's going to say. He's just, he's gifted that way. And in that little clip we played just a minute ago, he threw off a line. And then he just kept going. But he said about the Democrats, there's something wrong with them in their heads. And that's, first of all, God bless President Trump because he said the truth. There is something wrong with the leaders of the Democrat Party. If there's something wrong with them in their head. They are thinking wrongly about America. They're thinking wrongly about our Constitution. And Alex, as you said, they want to destabilize the nation. So we've got these judges who, there was another one this morning, who in the face of clear direction from the Supreme Court, they feel free to issue rulings contradicting what the Supreme Court has just handed down. I'm not sure where all of this is going to lead, but It is almost, we're almost getting set up for a showdown between democracy and anarchy. And Alex, I want to say, I join you in your judgment. How can a thinking Christian vote Democrat given the huge differences between the two parties?
And let me say this, and Fred, I'll throw it back to you. But during, I well remember back in 2015 and 2016 when Trump was running and he was in a debate with Hillary Clinton, and they were talking about securing the border. And some might remember, I believe it was in Kansas City, the man that was trying to defend his house. There is something called the Castle Doctrine, where if you're being broken into, you can defend your house. But anyway, this homeowner was charged with a crime for trying to defend his house. Illegals were breaking in. Anyway, Donald Trump said this, and it's just a great statement. Trump said, either we have a country or we don't. Securing the national border, protecting one's own home, that either we have citizens with the responsibilities and the rights that come with citizenship, and then illegals and invaders and felons have to be held to the rule of law. Donald Trump, like him or not, but he was right on the money. He said, look, either we have a country or we don't. I, for one, believe that we've had a great country for 249 years, and it's in the best interest of all of us to try and preserve it.
The Democrats have, in a primary, elected Zoran Mamdani to carry their banner as far as the mayoral race there. But I'm not accusing him of advocating for violence. But guys, don't you think he is part of this movement that we're talking about to radically change this country? I mean, this guy wants government-run grocery stores. He doesn't want billionaires in the city. All of that sort of thing. You know, people are entitled. We have First Amendment rights for everybody. But, Ray, when you talk about a guy who wants to be the mayor of one of the largest, if not the largest city in the country, advocating for what he's advocating, I think it's part of what the left really wants and really sees for this country.
Look, when people tell you who they are, believe them. When they show you what they really believe, then you ought to believe them. This fellow is, I see people calling him a communist. I don't know about that, but he's basically a socialist in his implications. And it's shocking to me that a man like that, he's currently leading in the polls. The mayor, the next mayor of New York. So Fred, tell me, or Alex, either one, how do you get from Rudy Giuliani to this guy? How does it happen that in a great American city, you had Rudy Giuliani, who was a great mayor of New York, to this guy? What happened? How did New York fall apart so fast?
Alex?
Well, for one, generations of school children have not been taught American history. They've been taught revisionist history, woke history, the glories of socialism, how capitalism is evil. And, you know, the Democrats, words mean things. And the Democrats have had this trope that is so false. And it's so destructive on many levels that rich Republicans, only the greedy corporations, and I'm going to come back to that, but the other thing is that the rich don't pay their fair share of taxes. And so there's this idea, it's called class warfare. And so here is New York City. And by the way, you know, think about this, what capitalism does. 40 U.S. states, and this research is accurate as of this week, 40 U.S. states have economies bigger than the largest developed nations of the world. That's exciting because American capitalism, principled capitalism, has brought food, prosperity, and stability to more people than any other economic engine in history.
Yeah. All right. Just the first hour of this program. A lot of interesting topics to talk about. Future of the country, where we are. And I think, guys, it goes back to where we are spiritually many times in the country. The indoctrination of our kids, what our kids' brains, what's going in there. thanks to an education system. Much more ahead when we come back after the break. Gary Bauer, president of American Values, will join the discussion. So don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn Network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And indeed, welcome back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson here. Tim and Ed and Wesley are away today. Joining me, of course, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Dr. Alex McFarland, and joining us now from the great state of Virginia, I think, outside of the Beltway, although he's been covering the Beltway for a long time, our good friend Gary Bauer, president of American Values. Gary, welcome.
Thank you, Fred. Great to be with you. And yes, I'm in Virginia. I don't know if I'm covering the Beltway. It feels a lot of times like the trucks on the Beltway are running over me, but you got the general idea correct.
Gary, you were with the Reagan administration on the education side of things. So you've been involved with and monitoring our education system for quite some time. And you probably have heard what happened at the NEA, the National Education Association Teachers Union meeting in Portland, Oregon in the last few days. They voted to disassociate themselves, and I think they even put a years on it, for the next 40 years, disassociate themselves from the Anti-Defamation League, which has been advising and supplying materials to teach kids about the Holocaust, to teach kids about the sickness, the virus of anti-Semitism. But the nation's largest teachers union says they don't want any part of that group anymore because obviously they support the nation of Israel.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Fred. You know, it's been forgotten at this point, but Dr. James Dobson and I wrote a book years ago called Children at Risk, The Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Our Children. And we argued there was this great battle going on, and only one side would be able to win. And the winner would get to teach our children what to believe about life and death, love and sex, freedom and slavery. And it seemed alarmist at the time, but it is, of course, exactly what we're seeing in front of our eyes. Not that many years ago, all we had to worry about was what kind of junk our kids were getting in college, but it's now all the way down to first and second grade. And this is a perfect example. The Anti-Defamation League is run by a guy who's a liberal Democrat. Mm. I mean, he and I have had many disagreements over the years, but he does have this one fundamental belief that hating Jews is a bad thing, an evil thing. We shouldn't engage in that. And, of course, he's pro-Israel, as I am. And yet here we have this massive teacher union with teachers in classrooms all over the country, and they do not want young American children to hear anything that would be sympathetic to Jews or to Israel, and quite frankly, to Christians. So that ought to be a scary thing for all of us to ponder.
Alex?
Yeah, well, first of all, Mr. Bauer, it's a great, great honor to be on with you. I've followed your work for a long time and have just the utmost respect for you and appreciate
it. Well, how kind of you. Thank you.
You're a great American. But, you know, what's ironic is whenever I speak at universities, much comes up about the rights of indigenous people. And the very same, you know, woke professors and students that will wax eloquent about indigenous people's rights, at the very same time will stand against the most indigenous people group in history, which are the Jewish people in the land of Israel. I mean, they'll talk about America, you know, giving back the North American continent to Native Americans, and then advocate for terrorists and advocate against Israel. So it's no surprise to me that the teachers' union would break ties with the Anti-Defamation League, which is very unfortunate. But a couple of things is because Israel and standing for the rights of Jewish people, it goes against the woke narrative. The one racism that gets a pass in this otherwise socially just planet is racism against Jewish people. It's very sad. It takes courage to be willing to take a stand for Israel, but I wish more people would.
Ray?
Well, I agree completely with your analysis. You know, the Jewish people were in Jerusalem and the Holy Land at a time when Washington, D.C. was an actual swamp. It's just kind of ironic to see people of all places in the United States, talking about indigenous people and that the Jews don't qualify. And of course, I keep trying to explain to our Christian brothers and sisters who they tend to be pro-Israel. They're more pro-Israel than most segments of our population. But even some Christians get confused about this. And it's useful to remind our brothers and sisters that the effort to remove the presence of Jews historically in the Holy Land, if it succeeded, would erase the Christian gospel. I mean, the whole Bible is the story of a group of Jews in the Holy Land, including one who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is an important battle, not only for Jews, but also for Christians.
Gary, I want to ask you about something that popped up in your end-of-day report yesterday. It's tremendous. By the way, friends, you need to be subscribing to this, and maybe, Gary, you'll tell us how folks can do that. It's a free email, comes out every single day, hot off the press, so to speak, for what's happening in Washington. Great cultural analysis. But I'm reading through it, and I come down to this section here at the end. Not so super. So there's a new Superman movie coming out. And, you know, Gary, when I was growing up, Superman, you couldn't be a more true American hero than Superman and the values that he represented. But according to what you're saying, there's been a break with the great Superman tradition. So I guess I'm going to ask you, what's happened here? Has Superman gone woke?
Oh, my goodness. You know, just when I think that Hollywood is beginning to back off or whatever, a story like this comes around. So, yes, I think the producer or the director of the newest movie, Superman movie coming out, and one of the main actors are all in on open borders and all the rest of it. So what they've done is they've turned Superman into, first and foremost, an immigrant, because he obviously didn't come from America or even from planet Earth. He came from planet Krypton. And apparently the movie really emphasizes how, you know, whatever he had to do to adjust to the world and to America and all the rest. It's just a bunch of malarkey. But I wrote in the end of day that the irony here is that Superman comes to Earth as a baby. He falls out of the sky and lands on a farm run by a couple that were childless. And they take the baby in. They do a courageous moral thing, and they raise that baby as a true blue American. They teach him courage and being kind and not bragging about yourself and help those that need help, etc. And, of course, the motto of Superman was fighting for, what was it, truth,
justice, and the American
fairness
way.
And the American way or whatever. This guy's MAGA. Superman's MAGA. So, the left just keeps on trying, and I'm no prophet, but I'm going to predict this latest rendition of Superman is going to fail miserably at the box office.
You know, Gary, here's something I don't understand connected to this. There are millionaires and billionaires in Hollywood smart enough to think to know that the country certainly voted, when they voted last November, they voted against wokeness on many fronts. They voted against open borders. They voted against, men playing in girls' sports. But they insist on still trying to put this out and make a sale to the American people. And as you say, the American people have rejected this, yet they think they can make a movie celebrating what the American people have rejected.
Yes, that's a great summary, Fred. I mean, I can't fully explain it. In some ways, what these people are promoting with the influence they have in the arts and in music and movies and so forth, will, if it succeeds, it will ultimately eat them. It will engulf them. We already see this Marxist guy running for mayor of New York who a couple years ago was saying that New York City ought to seize the upscale condominiums of the wealthy in New York and turn those over to the newly arrived migrants. And, of course, the irony is that he and his family are very wealthy. I guess he assumes that their, upscale condo penthouse would not be one of the ones seized. But there is this phenomena, and it literally ends up being that the more money you have, generally speaking, and I'm talking about big money here, the more likely you are to embrace sort of a Marxist no-border worldview, whether it's George Soros or, the great majority of billionaires in America. There was all that attention on the few that we had, including the owner of Tesla. But most billionaires in America vote left. They vote for left-wing candidates. It's one of the great mysteries of life.
Gary, also in your end of day yesterday, you addressed the fact that finally, maybe some people who orchestrated the rebellion against Donald Trump in the first administration, and I'm talking about former CIA Director John Brennan and former FBI Director James Comey, are now reportedly under investigation. Do you think it's possible that those who many people say orchestrated Russiagate with the help of one Hillary Clinton, do you think we'll see justice?
Well, as a Christian, I should be an optimist, and I worked for, because we know how the big story ends, and when I worked for Reagan, he made it pretty clear that he fired pessimists, so I always had to try to check myself and not let my pessimism take over. But I gotta tell you guys, I'm skeptical. They should be held accountable, but it's not an easy task. I mean, even the process. I'm glad the investigation is apparently underway, and that the administration's not letting this go. But ultimately, they have to impanel a grand jury, and they have to convince that grand jury to indict some people that harmed President Trump and tried to really overturn an election with the things they were doing. But where is that grand jury going to sit? I mean, if it's in Washington, D.C., literally 90% of the people in Washington, D.C. voted for Hillary Clinton and then voted for Joe Biden. And even in the northern, the suburbs around Washington, they are overwhelmingly Democrat. So getting a grand jury that will actually listen to the facts and not let their ideology drive them is going to be very difficult. There's a statute of limitations problem on some of these things. But at the very least, there's got to be full exposure of what these powerful men did. And they were literally trying to reverse the result of the 2016 election. And Hillary Clinton was involved in this, and there was a time we know from stuff that has come out that she thought there was still a chance to prevent Donald Trump from being able to take the oath of office after he defeated her in that election. And she and her allies even went so far as trying to intimidate the electors from the states Trump won. Many of those electors had to move out of their homes and go into hiding because of the death threats they were receiving, and that their hope was that some of these electors would get cold feet and end up casting their vote, not for Trump, even though he won their state, but for Hillary Clinton. So this is serious stuff. It's the real danger to our constitutional republic, and I certainly hope it doesn't disappear down a memory hole. So we should do everything we can to follow up.
Alex?
Yeah, well, and let's remind everybody that as recently as 2024, from 2016 to last year, Nancy Pelosi was referring to Donald Trump as the illegitimate president.
Mm.
And 2016, an illegitimate election. Hillary Clinton used the term an illegitimate president. And, you know, none of us like it when our candidate loses, but you know there's such a thing as character and admitting, you know, hey, I'll tell you, I prayed for Barack Obama, I prayed for Joe Biden, still do. I certainly didn't vote for either of those people, but being a gracious loser, the Democrats do not lose graciously, and. You know, I said this July 13 last year when candidate Trump was shot at, and it was a miracle of God that he didn't die there in Pennsylvania. But all of this rhetoric, it has repercussions, doesn't it, Fred?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, folks, all these things we've been talking to Gary about is in his end of day. Gary, how can people sign up for that end of day Monday through Friday?
Well, thanks for asking, Fred. They can go to our, like the pronoun, O-U-R, ouramericanvalues.org. And you can sign up there. There's no cost for it. It continues to get around. And I'm pleased to tell you that there are people in the White House to get it as well as members of Congress. So when we put these messages out, hopefully we can have some impact on public policy.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Gary. Great to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Fred, and with your co-hosts, and keep up the great work.
All right. Take care, sir. You know, Ray, we were talking with Gary about what the teachers union did earlier this week in Portland, Oregon, with regards to breaking its relationship with the Anti-Defamation League because of their support for Israel. I was reading a story. In fact, it's on our website, afn.net, this morning. And this comes out of Australia. A report that was released there today is recommending how they can curb anti-Semitism in that country. It's kind of interesting. And this is from the Associated Press. They're recommending that they threaten university funding. Does that sound familiar at all?
What a great idea.
It sounds like a page out of Donald Trump. But listen, folks, this is what's been going on with Jewish people in Australia. Synagogues and cars have been torched. Businesses and homes have been graffitied. And Jews have been attacked in Sydney and Melbourne, Australia, the two largest cities where 85% of the nation's Jewish population live. Ray, explain to people what is going on. A tiny state of Israel, a tiny group of people, the hatred, and it's global.
Look, the hatred of the Jewish people has deep historical roots. It goes back thousands of years and goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. When we've talked about this, God called Abraham, the father of faith. From him comes Isaac and then Jacob, then the boys and the tribes. And eventually there's the nation of Israel. And not too far into that story, here comes a Pharaoh who wants to wipe out all the Jewish male babies. Read on down, story of Esther and Haman and his wicked plot to destroy the Jewish people. Read on down to King Herod and his attempt to destroy the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as old as history itself. You know, the thing that surprises me, if I could circle back around, Fred, to this ADL stuff and the NEA. Look, it's not as if the ADL is, it's not as if they're a right-wing organization. They're not. They differ with us on a number of points, right? I mean, they were hand in glove with the NEA for decades. So what changed? Who changed? I mean, is it any surprise that the Anti-Defamation League supports the Jewish state, the nation of Israel? Oh, well, of course they do. The only thing that's changed is the NEA has gone so far left, they have bought into the pro-Hamas, pro-Islamic terrorist point of view, that they are kicking the ADL out for no other reason than the NEA is. I guess I'm saying nothing has changed to the ADL. The only thing that's changed is the teachers union has gone off the deep end ideologically. And it's a tragic thing. But that kind of stuff has been happening throughout history. And hey, down there in Australia, if they're taking a page from Mr. Trump's playbook, good. I hope it works.
Alex, in a way we can use this obviously open hatred against the Jewish people and the nation of Israel as Christians. We can use it as an opportunity to, when we're witnessing to friends, to family members, whatever the case may be, why we stand against anti-Semitism, why we stand against the NEA, why we stand against these groups. We can use it as a point of launching into our testimony as to why it matters. So there's an opportunity in the midst of this hatred of the Jewish people to say to people, well, let's talk about that, because it goes all the way back through Old Testament and New Testament. There is a reason, there is a spiritual reason for all of this.
Well, that's true, and this is vitally important. I mean, Revelation 12:17 says that Satan made war on Israel. Oh. Now, why would Satan try to exterminate the Jewish people? Because it is through the line of Abraham, the nation of Israel, that the woman, that's Israel, the woman delivered the man-child. That's Jesus. Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelium, the first gospel, that Jesus, the seed of the woman, would crush the serpent. And see, part of this, and guys, and Ray, I have such respect for you as a Bible scholar. I really revere you, Ray, and your intellect. But it boils down to this, and I think many of the anti-Semitic people, they don't even realize this, but acknowledgement of Israel's right to exist. This is about God versus Satan. This is about light versus darkness, truth versus error. And the anti-Semitism, Fred, it is the racism that is allowed to exist because if Israel has the right to their land that they've been in for 4,000 years plus, it means that God exists and the Bible is true.
Right. It is. Go ahead.
Fred, can I say one last thing?
Sure.
The National Education Association, by the way, as the teachers union has had this stranglehold over the American classroom. And of course, the NEA has fought school choice and parents' rights. Look, test scores are abysmal. Test scores are going down, down, down. A lot of people don't know this, folks. When the North Carolina The NEA had a huge meeting in Raleigh, North Carolina, like 10 years ago. It was very closed doors. The theme, and I got this from people that were on the inside, the theme what was it? Let's educate the kids. Let's get our test scores. No, the theme was, quote, spread the gay. Mm. Isn't that something? The NEA met in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it wasn't about education and truth and let's raise the intellectual quotient of our young people. No, it was insert gay content at every opportunity. Seriously, and I've got very hush-hush, it was, spread the gay. So this is not about truth. It's about ideology. It's not about what's right and just. It's about a narrative. And that's why, for God and country and the future of our kids, we have to get back to education, not indoctrination.
Ray, one of the things contained in the big, beautiful law, it's not a bill anymore, is a real focus on school choice. In fact, I was listening this morning to an interview. Apparently, there are going to be grants that are going to be given to people so they can decide where to send their kids. Because of our formal public education system, and folks, I know there are still good Christian teachers in the system and principals, so we're not including every school in the nation. But overall, mom and dad, if you find out that your school is woke, there are now, Ray, more options that parents have. They do not have to send their kids into that environment.
You know, way back when I was growing up, which feels like, about Abraham Lincoln's era, long time ago, there was no such thing in the 60s that I knew of, let's say, when we were coming up, as a homeschool movement. And in part of the country I grew up in, there were no private school options whatsoever. It was a public school or nothing at all. And thanks be to God, by the grace and kindness of the Lord and leadership, a lot of good people, now the tremendous options. You don't have to keep your kids in the public schools, especially certain parts of the country. You absolutely shouldn't. So I thank God for the homeschool movement and for the Christian school movement. We must train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Amen and amen. Hey, listen, we got to take a little break for news. Want to come back? You mentioned homeschool. There's a homeschool story breaking out of New Jersey. Folks, want to tell you about this because the homeschool movement is under attack in that state. So we want to talk about that story. Steve Jordahl will be joining us when we come back after the break. I'll be here. Ray will be here. Alex will be here. Much more on this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Don't dare go away.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.